It's time to fire it up.
Why you gotta make me feel inferior? Because I'm on the grill, B.
From the chow.
Food for action.
To the gear.
It's 122,000 BTUs of char broiling power.
To the drinks.
Drink some beers.
These guys have you covered.
We're just kicking back out here. Just having a barbecue.
This is the Grilling Guys.
Welcome. You listen to the Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network and Jethro FM all over this wonderful state of Michigan and wherever you may be living or listening on our podcast. But deer season's upon us, and we're going to talk a little bit about that, something that I don't do so much of anymore, but Bob's pretty passionate about it. But I'm Jop, and he is Barbecue Bob. What's cooking, baby?
Hey, thanks, pal. Welcome to the show. Thanks, Conrad's running the big board today, and of course, that makes us sound a little better. We need all the help we can get, being a couple of hacks.
You know, I don't know how he does it, but there's three mouse on that mouse pad right there, man. He's got them all color-coded and stuff. He's going to make it happen today.
Would they be mice then?
I don't know.
I don't know. That's a technical term.
All right.
Let's get IT in here.
So what is a group of mice? A herd?
It's not a gaggle. I know that.
All right. Yeah.
Trying to settle into the winter schedule, get ready for snow to come.
Working long ways away from us right now, man. It's 60, 65 here in the first week of November. That's crazy.
Yeah, and my brother-in-law told me it's like record temperatures, and I'm like, keep it here.
Yeah, I was traveled to Cincinnati this week for work and my real job, and it was 79 degrees down there Wednesday night when we got out at 5:30 to go to dinner. And it was, I had a little, you know, puffy vest with me. It was like, no need. It was crazy how warm it was down there.
You didn't want to be the marshmallow walking
down there? No, I didn't. No, I was good.
That's a wonderful town.
Yeah, well, I didn't see much of it, you know, conference.
Did you have a Skyline Chili at least?
Nope.
Oh.
Nope. Never got in, got out. Had one dinner out. Everything else was in the hotel convention, you know, kind of thing for work.
In my finance career, our regional office was there, and I went there every couple of weeks.
Yeah.
And learned to love the town. Had box seats to the Reds whenever I was in town.
Yeah.
And the Bengals. And that was very cool. Just the downtown Cincinnati is awesome. But anyway, closed down the takeout for winter. So I had to take all that equipment and store it, which was a big deal.
That is.
And now I'm settling in, trying to get my snowplow fixed so I can be ready for the winter.
Yeah. Get a snowplow. Are you putting that on that little mule?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
All right.
It's a big mule. Thank you very much.
Well, I understand. Just as long as you don't plow snow in the woods, you're good. So, there's a story.
It's where
there.
I live.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Last winter, we had quite a bit of snow. And on one of my excursions, I don't remember how it happened, but I ended up veering off the path just a little bit, and I found a big boulder. So it bent the blade forward and snapped a spring. So I'm putting new springs on it this year.
Well, that's what you got
to
do.
Now you're totally up to date.
Better to prep it in the warm weather than wait till you need it the day it snows, right? So,
but to have this extra time right now is really nice because this week I got to go babysit for a couple hours for my little newest granddaughter, Ellowyn.
Yep.
And the kid is magic.
Oh,
she's the happiest baby I've ever. I've seen a lot of babies. We've had a few. And
right.
Got a few grandkids, and of course, come from big families. We've seen a lot of babies. Never saw a kid this happy.
Wow, cool.
Something
even when you're holding her,
something's going to happen.
Yeah.
I just know she's going to go.
Right. Yep. That's cool. So we closed the takeout. Let's talk a little bit about that. It's and why and but what's still going on? Too.
Yeah. That's the good question. What is going on?
Well, I believe that we'll still take catering gigs throughout the winter.
We are.
And the takeout was an affront, in my mind, for the catering business. You could come in.
It's a sleight of hand.
You could come in and try anything. I mean, it was good. We ran it for a couple days a week, and we really, really, really appreciate the patronage of the people that stopped by and supported it. But it was never meant to be a restaurant. You know, you stopped in, you got some takeout, and you got to try some really good barbecue that we make, and it led to several catering gigs that are lingering now. I mean, we've got them scheduled throughout.
Yeah, they're booking
for the holidays.
At a good clip.
Yep.
And then into next year, I've already got quite a few on the calendar, but we got a whole year that's ready to fill up.
Yep.
The cool thing, I was at church the other day, and this woman approached me like she knew me. And she started talking about the takeout. And I said, I'm really sorry, but I don't know you. And she introduced herself and she said, I'm one of the moderators of the Lowell community chatter on Facebook.
Oh,
okay. I go, oh, okay. I said, well, thanks for all the work you do. And she goes, yeah, it's a lot of work because you get a lot of whiners on those things. But she said, the comments on your business are so good. And I said, I've heard that. I haven't necessarily seen them, but
right.
It's really nice to hear.
Yeah.
Really nice to hear. So thanks to all those people who bother to leave a good review and brag about their experience.
Yeah. So let's talk a little bit about the catering because it doesn't necessarily need to be a giant party to get some great barbecue.
No, but basically dollar-wise, I think it becomes feasible for us to attend if it's 40 and up.
Right. Yep.
Because the party's for 20. I mean, for all the work it takes and the time, we have to charge a lot of money, and it kind of if you're looking to spend high dollar for great barbecue, sure, we'll do 20. I'll do 5.
Right,
but
right.
It's gonna hurt.
Right, yeah, because whether we're cooking for 20 or we're cooking for 200, you're still firing up all the same equipment, dirty
exactly.
And everything,
exactly,
and making sure that it's good and it all takes time, and so on. So yeah, but I've got one coming up the 11th for a deer camp. And I just wanted to share this with everybody because this is 50 guys, so it's more of a fall party for this particular client. But he always wants standing rib roasts, and so we're going to have Sobey on the show a little later, and we're going to talk a little bit about processing venison and things. But I'm also going to have him give us some tips on a standing rib roast because that's a traditional holiday dish.
Right.
And I'm going to be cooking about, well, I don't know how much weight. I'm going to get 3 of them from him. So it'll probably be around 50 pounds I'm going to do.
Exactly.
And we're going to cook those on the smoker. And we'll talk about that a little bit when Sobey comes. But, you know, we'll do a standing rib and some beans and mac and cheese and a salad for these guys. And then I'm going to do a big a cast iron skillet cobbler for them. And you know, that's a pretty typical higher end barbecue package that we would put together, and it's customizable. You know that
they are very customizable. Right. I have a group of engineers in Lowell called, I think it's called 10 of Us.
Okay,
and I think there's 10 engineers, and they named it 10 of Us.
Yeah, right.
It's spelt a little differently, but they send their, I guess, facilities manager, a very nice lady, in every week to get their lunch.
Yeah.
And she texted me and said, here's what we want for our Christmas party.
Yeah.
And it was pretty cool. And I said, what do you want for sides? And she said, what do you think? And I said, well, if it's a Christmas party, I'm going to want maybe garlic mashed because yep. That just speaks of big holiday meal to me.
Yep.
Or at least right. Some sort of mashed with gravy. But
right.
I love garlic mashed potatoes.
Yeah.
And I don't get to attend, but you darn well sure I'll be taking a little bit home, whatever I make.
Yeah.
I always make more.
You know, another thing that's probably non-traditional, you've never seen on our menu is, you know, if you had 20, 24 people coming over for Thanksgiving, might smoke up a couple turkeys for you and do some stuffing in the smoker.
That's on their list.
Yeah.
Yep, they,
right?
they want 2 brisket, 2 turkey, and 2 fresh hams.
There you go.
All smoked.
Yeah.
So I said, okay, that's a lot for 50 people.
Yeah.
I said, maybe you want to take some home, and she just laughed.
Yeah, right, exactly. So, you know, just run a noodle on that a little bit and see, because you can still catch us at Grilling Guys Takeout on Facebook, and we'll still connect. That's still active. It's just that the takeout itself is closed.
Well, so. And while we, since this is the Whitetail Show, ways to do whitetail, right now, it's windy, and the deer have gone nocturnal. Mm-hmm. So a lot of people are complaining. I look at the comments on Facebook. Oh, I'm not seeing any. It's the same comments every year, guys.
Yeah.
Okay? Opener, bow, is busy because the deer are all relaxed in their habitat, and then we go in and screw it up. So we send them all scurrying. Yeah. But now the rut's starting. So now, and the corn's all getting cut down.
Right.
So they're getting pressure to get into their new pattern,
yeah,
and that's exactly how that goes.
Yep. So coming up next, we're going to talk a little bit about maybe some particular cuts of the deer and what recipes we like to use. And then later in the show, we've got our board member, Tim Sobey from Sobey Meats, and he's going to talk a little bit about processing do's and don'ts and just impart some knowledge on us on how to take care of that meat once you've harvested a deer. So you're listening to Grilling Guys. Stick with us. We'll be back.
Hey, it's Barbecue Bob. My wife and I recently built a new addition to our home and remade the kitchen. We went to Garrett's and picked out all of our products so that everything would fit in his space well. The selection was from best price to best quality, and the service was great. The delivery team was courteous and careful. Go to Garrett's Appliance, and while you're there, check out the huge selection of top brands of grills and smokers from North America. Garrett's Appliance, where families serve families. Garrett'sAppliance.com.
Hi, this is Shasta with Old World Olive Company. I want to personally invite you to visit one of our tasting rooms and sample any one of our certified extra virgin olive oils or aged balsamic vinegars. My knowledgeable staff can show you hundreds of pairing combinations. We also offer seasonings, tapenades, and specialty wines to complete your meal. So please, step into my kitchen and make a lasting memory of your own. Or you can visit us at theoldworldoliveco.com.
I am a guy and I like fire.
The Grillin' Guy.
Welcome back. You listen to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network and Jethro FM all over this great state of Michigan. And we appreciate you tuning in. You're picking us up on the podcast. Happy Saturday, because we're glad you're here. But deer season's upon us, and we were talking a little bit about fresh venison. Bob mentioned that they're all running nocturnal now. My text and Facebook has lit up four or five times with some guys with some really nice bucks.
Mm-hmm.
They're out there, traveled to Cincinnati and back, as I mentioned in the first segment. The corn is off pretty much down there, and taking the back roads that you take to from Grand Rapids to Cincinnati.
I bet it's a record corn harvest this year, because the stocks were just huge.
And but I saw a lot of deer on the road, dead, as well as in the fields as you're driving through, you know, all of Ohio to get clear down to southern Ohio.
Yeah, and that's a tough way to take a deer.
Yeah, right, yeah. Yeah, then, and fortunately we didn't. But at the end of the day, makes you think about it. So what about this backstrap? That seems to be the premier cut. There's tenderloins and backstraps. Maybe explain the difference of those.
It is, and you know, we have that on the show plan to do, and I think sometimes that's all people think about and talk about, you know. What else is on that deer that you might like to use that you don't use? Well, the front shoulders get abused, right? People don't care about them. But I'll tell you what, you can grind it into burger for one thing. But we have a recipe on our website, thegrillingguys.com, that is called corned venison. And that is a fantastic way to use a shoulder, because it's very dense, a very lean piece. And the corning process will tenderize that beautifully.
So what is that? What's corning?
It's like a pickling spice sort of process, just like a corned beef.
Right.
You know, it's I don't have it up in front of me. I'm not going to try and list all the ingredients, but it's a time process, and that sits in the brine for days, and it works miracles on it. And for people that maybe don't appreciate the taste of venison or are afraid of it, if you corn one of those shoulders or any roast and then roast it or smoke it or do whatever you want to do with it, you're going to find a really beautiful, delicate, differently flavored piece of meat, and that might be a nice way to use a front shoulder.
Yeah, and other than just grinding it up into the burger,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Could you use that shoulder to make jerky? Is that good meat to do?
Or
do
I think anything works good for jerky. Okay. I love venison jerky.
Right.
And we've got a bunch of jerky recipes on the grillingguys.com too.
Yeah, and Sobey's going to talk in the next segment about processing, so I want to stay away from that, because maybe we'll touch on that a little bit with him, and he's going to know more about it. But
and his jerky's as good as mine.
Right. Yeah, just ask him. Yeah, just ask Bob. He'll tell you. That was a funny
It's an old
day.
Joke.
That was a funny day. You don't even be inside when you tell your butcher your jerky's almost as good as mine. Then you know what the butcher's going to look at you like, are you kidding me?
He glassed over.
Yeah. But anyway, so these deers, there's two quintessential cuts on a deer. There's tenderloins, which are a groin muscle, and then there's the back straps, which is a back muscle. And these two muscles are super tender on a deer because they're not working muscles. It's muscle, but it's not in supporting or propelling the deer.
Yeah, and as Archie Bunker would say, you don't have to be a groin ecologist to know that.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, Archie. But anyway, these back straps are what everybody talks about, and it's about the size of a tennis ball to a baseball round, and depending on the deer, big or small, they're different lengths. Right.
And you might see a deer on the side of the road with just the back straps missing.
You know what the weird part was, though? I saw several. This is stupid to me. I saw several that were hit with cars and their heads were missing because somebody took the rack, stopped and cut the head off to take the rack of a roadkill deer. Not one. I saw four or five.
Wow.
Like that, driving down there. That's the craziest
Have
thing.
You ever seen a deer with the back straps missing?
No. No. I never have.
Like in your driveway?
Right, yeah. Right.
Now you have to report it when you take
once every 3 days, right? You got to leave camp.
Even roadkill now. Yep.
Really?
My buddy Toivo up in the UP says, "Yeah, even you got to fill it out."
Do they have any deer left up there?
They do. There are fewer hunters, you know, that's the issue. Is that fewer hunters?
They can't
hunters
compete
in
with
the
wolves though.
Well, there you are.
Well, my friends in Western UP say is that all the deer are in town.
Yeah.
In town?
Yeah. The pressure in the woods is incredible. I mean, those things are 140, 150 pound killers. They're like it's like the Crips and the Bloods running through the woods.
You should go up there and help those deer feel better about themselves.
Oh, I would. I'll tell you what. I would sign up for that trip. Anyway, so backstraps. Jop, you've got a favorite way of doing backstraps.
I do, and it's super simple, and it's really a fall flavor, and you have to be a little careful with it, but. The back strap, as I was saying, it might be 18, 24 inches long. It's probably 6-7 pounds if you did the whole thing. So that's a lot for, unless you got a big group of guys around. So take a chunk of that.
Yeah. Cut them in half. Typically is how guys do it.
Yep. Take a chunk of that and, in a plastic container or a glass container, I take, the time of year is apple cider. Now apple cider is acidic. All right, and it'll break meat down over time. So you don't want to do this too long. I'm going to say a couple hours maybe is all, but I take that piece of backstrap and I just submerge it in apple cider. And what it does is it's already tender, but it makes it super tender, but the backstrap will absorb part of that apple flavor. And then I put that on a really hot charcoal grill or gas if you have it and sear it and take your thermometer and you only need to get that to about 125 degrees internal temperature right in the center. You're going to take it off and let it rest. Now you can put salt and pepper on the outside if you want, but I'm telling you that apple cider is enough.
And so when you take that off, then make sure you wrap it in something.
Right. Yep.
Plastic, foil, whatever.
Yeah, foil's probably better. It needs to breathe a little bit as it cools. The plastic wrap is a little too tight in my mind, but you tent it on
a
board.
You want it to breathe? I always wrapped it so it wouldn't breathe.
Well, I mean, foil's not going to stick to the meat like a saran wrap would, so I just use foil. You know me. I love foil. But
he does. Yeah. I got another foil story for you.
Yeah.
Don't foil it.
Right. But anyway, I let that rest as you do any roast that you take off the grill or the smoker. And then and what that does is the juices draw back through the meat. And it's very, very tight. Slice it in little medallions, maybe on the bias a little bit. And it's just a wonderful, wonderful treat. And it just screams fall to me with that apple cider. It's a brine. Whatever you want
and
to call
it. And
if
you want some seasoning for that, after you brine it, you can get some wonderful. Sobey Meats has just the biggest display of spices. I'm so happy for them in the barbecue business in West Michigan that you can get any flavor you want.
Right.
And there are some great ones. And you and I have used a bunch of them and even met the people that made them when we were in Kansas City at different times.
Yeah. But, and there are apple-flavored seasonings. Anything with a little sugar in it after you've put that apple on there is going to be really good with that.
Well, now you're making me feel really bad.
Why?
Because I made you some apple barbecue sauce and it's still in my refrigerator.
I heard that. I heard that. I've yet to see it, but
it's
I heard
so
that.
Good.
That was like 2 weeks ago. I know. So it must be it gets better with age.
I
right?
think it will.
Yeah.
I think what I'm going to do is make up a big batch of it because I picked so many apples.
Coming up next, though, I got a story about those two. Coming up next, we got Tim Sobey from Sobey Meats. He's going to help us with processing. Stick with us. We'll be back.
Hi, this is Jim, founder of Schmoe's Brewing Company. We're a small, family-owned brewery that serves the Grand Rapids neighborhoods. We do things a bit differently at Schmoe's, sort of old school. We make all the styles of beer true to style. That's our focus. So you want to relax and enjoy a well-made craft beer that tastes like a craft beer is supposed to taste, stop into Schmoe's. We're located in Cascade on Patterson Ave, right before the ice rink. Or check us out at schmoes.com. We're open every day but Sunday.
Hey, this is Jop from The Grilling Guys, and I want to talk to you about my favorite butcher shop. It's Sobey Meats on the northwest side of Grand Rapids on Remembrance Road. This is a custom butcher. They'll cut any piece of meat that you want, any size, any way that you can dream of to make sure that your grilling experience is perfect. Sobey Meats smokes all their own meats. They've got kielbasas and over 40 different flavors of brats. You got to try Sobey Meats on Remembrance Road. Tell them The Grilling Guys sent you.
This is The Grilling Guide.
Welcome back. You listen to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. Hey, it's the weekend. We appreciate you tuning in wherever you are, podcast or live on one of our many, many stations out there. But
or streaming us off the Jethro website.
Yeah, right. Jethro.fm, I believe is what that is. But anyway, hey, it's that time of year. It's deer hunting season, and you know Barbecue Bob and I are into that. And if you're fortunate enough to harvest a deer, what are you going to do with it? And so on the
eat
live
it.
Line, yeah, eat it. So on the live line, we've got the master of meat. That'd be Tim Sobey from Sobey Meats. Hey, Tim, good morning.
Good morning. How are you guys today?
Yeah, the most mentioned sponsor on the show, I'd have to say.
Well, he's a meat guy, man. What are you going to do at a barbecue show without meat? Nothing, right? So,
well, when you give away money, then you get mentions, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I guess you got to throw it on a Garrett's grill when you're done, so
right,
let's throw them in there,
right.
too.
Yeah.
So let's talk about processing deers. What can people do if they're harvesting an animal right now to make sure that it tastes really good? One question I have is the tenderloins.
And what's your question about the tenderloins? Do you want to eat the tenderloins?
Well, what should they do with them? Should they cut them out before they take them home and throw them on ice?
I would get them out. I mean, once you got that deer out, you're already up in that cavity.
Right.
Pull those tenderloins out, rinse them underwater, get all the whatever is on there, get them nice and clean, pat them dry, and then get them chilled down quickly. Absolutely.
Okay.
So aside from that, you know, we've had warm weather this year, kind of above records. And so two things, if you're going to mount a deer, then let's say you got that nice buck, he's going to go on the wall. At that point, you're going to sacrifice some meat. The blood is going to settle in the hams. But if you hung it head up, at least it'll drain out of that neck cavity. That neck cavity, that's going to spoil first.
And if you're processing it yourself and you're going to do a head and shoulder mount, you got to cape that thing.
Yes, and I'll tell you what, that the cape doesn't come off any quicker and easier than when it's warm anyways. So if you have the ability in camp to pull that hide off, then get that, I mean, start with hang the animal head down, and then you can cut all the way up the neck once that cape has been removed and get the head cut off, get that to bleed out, rinse it out with ice cold water or cold water, pat it dry. Don't let that water settle in the neck because that'll rot that out. But boy, you're going to get some of the best venison you've ever had doing that.
And they make a nice device that looks like a clothing hanger that you put into the back legs, and it's got a little pulley. That's a great investment.
I think it's called a gambrel.
There you go.
The gambrel hook. Yep.
Yep. And so Tim, let's slow down a little bit. So I harvest the deer, I get it back to camp, and I've got one of these gambrels. And they're designed to go in the back legs just above the knee. You just cut a little slit and hang them there. there's an Achilles tendon almost that it looks like that you're going to hook this thing, and if you're keeping it for a trophy, do you hang it head first or do you hang it feet first?
If you're gonna take the cape off, it'll be easier to hang it head down anyways.
Right.
So then when you're finished, so let's say the flip side, you're going to get a mount, but you're not going to skin it in camp. Then I would say hang it. Don't put a rope around its neck. Put a rope around under the antlers because you don't want a rope mark when you get your trophy back.
Right.
Then you can hang it head up, and then the blood will still drain out of that neck cavity. The blood will settle into the back ham, so it'll be bloodier. But at that point, if you're just going to make sausage out of it, you're still going to be fine anyway. You'd rather sacrifice a little bit of meat to keep a nice cape for that mount.
Now, wouldn't you recommend skinning it right there at deer camp?
Yes.
So that means you got to bring up a tarp to wrap that thing in for your transit.
Well, there's that, but I think what I'm thinking about myself, I'm not sure how to cape out a deer that I can make it so that the mount is proper once it gets mounted on a shoulder mount. It sounds logical, but I don't know if it is. How far up in you go to cut the neck meat out and stuff at the base of the skull?
Well, you don't cut the neck meat out. You just cut the hide lower down on the shoulder, and then you slit it up front or back, and you start peeling that up until where you're going to take care of the severing action.
My point is that I think an average guy, and I count myself as that, I wouldn't know where to start and stop, and I might jack it up. So then, to me, the right at the shoulders, cut the neck off and let the taxidermist take care of that.
You can do that, too.
Right? Because I wouldn't know how to do that and make it so that it sounds logical, what you just said, but if it's truly a trophy,
I might take it
there.
Yep.
And you're going to sacrifice some neck meat.
Or you could bring it over to Tim's deer camp and let him do it for you.
Yeah, there you go.
There you go. Yeah. I'll be waiting for you.
Right. Yeah.
We'll be just sitting there saying the rosary anyway.
Yeah.
Sipping on some altar wine or something. I don't know.
Yeah. A little muscatel. There you go. Right.
Yeah.
But John, that's a very good call, and I would second that. Based on, past experience that I've had when I process deer for other guys, if you're not sure, that's your trophy. And really, whatever ends up going in the freezer or doesn't go in the freezer, the main thing you're trying to end up with is that nice trophy on the wall.
Right.
When in doubt, then I would agree, just leave it alone and let an expert, save that hide for you, that cape.
Yeah.
So and you're if bringing to the taxidermist everything they need. Otherwise, if you cut it too short, you're going to end up buying a cape anyways.
And if it's a real trophy, it's a bigger, older buck, you don't mind sacrificing a little neck meat.
Right, yeah, right.
Yep,
all full
absolutely.
Of that estrus, yeah, from the yep. all of that.
So now let's take the flip side. So let's say, and I would agree if you have a tarp. The other thing that we've done, you can get, they're the commercial, like the contractor's trash bags.
Yeah.
They're a larger one. So then you could basically put, if you started, let's say your deer is hanging head down or whichever the way that's hanging, if it's been skinned, have a couple nice, don't take that trash bag you just got done, filling up full of leaves, but take that nice new trash bag, put one on from the bottom, work up, and then once you get it off your gambrel hook, over the top down. So now you've got kind of a bag from either end. And your meat isn't going to get road dust and grime and everything else on it for the ride home.
And that's a mistake. I've seen a lot of guys taking their deer on a back carrier or on the rooftop or whatever, and the back straps are in the cavity and 60 degrees out. And there's lots of, you just ruined a lot of meat.
Yeah. So Tim,
they'll be medium rare by the time you get home.
Yeah.
So Tim, with regard to that temperature, because it is warmer this season than it's been in last. I shoot one opening day and I come back and, as you said, you rinse it out, you put ice in the cavity to try to cool it down. Maybe you get the hide off it. How long can I let that hang at a 55, 60 degrees, which is what we're dealing with right now, before I'm afraid I'm going to lose that?
Yeah, I would say, number one, you'd want to have it in the shade somewhere. and absolutely do something to keep it out of the rain, because water will rot a meat quicker as quickly as too warm a temperature as well. So water is your friend to rinse it out, but pat it dry. In water, soaking in water is not good at all.
But you had a good idea. You had a good idea about bringing up frozen milk jugs and using those to stuff the cavity. So an extra cooler might be needed.
Yep.
Sure. Because even if you have those, if like a half-gallon jug, you could shove that up into the neck cavity a little bit farther, and then a gallon jug will fit in that chest cavity. Yes, it's going to thaw, but you're not going to have anywhere near the water on your meat as you would if you just stopped to a gas station, buy a bag of ice and shove it up in there.
Right.
If that melts and thaws, it's going to be laying in water.
Right. So the water we want to stay away with. And we're running out of time. Tim, you can stay with us for another segment, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, great. Because in the next segment, what I want to do is talk a little bit about quartering it out. Is that the right thing to do? Or do you process it all at the same time? How long can it stay in the tree and so on? So we'll pick that up when we come back. You're listening to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. We appreciate you tuning in. Stick with us because we're going to finish up this deer processing. We'll be right back.
Barbecue Bob here for the local hunting, fishing, and archery experts at Allen Bob Sports. The freshest, tastiest proteins you can put on the grill or in the smoker are the ones you harvest yourself. And Allen Bob Sports is everything you need to be a success in the field or on the water. For everything from bows and crossbows to firearms and fishing, go to Allen Bob Sports, now partnered with Millbrook Tack, just off US 131, exit 76, or shop online at millbrooktack.com.
Fen Valley Vineyards, located on the shores of Lake Michigan in Fenville, Michigan, 45 minutes south of Grand Rapids. It's one of the most beautiful, most picturesque vineyards in North America. This family's been making wine for over 40 years. You have to bring your friends and family to the tasting room and experience pure Michigan wine, Fen Valley Vineyards.
Now hit me!
The Grillin' Guys.
Welcome back. It's the Grillin' Guys. We're talking with Tim Sobey from Sobey Meats, and he's an expert on processing meat. And we were talking a little bit about processing venison, and we've got to continue that conversation. Right, Bob?
That's right. And also, don't forget to go to thegrillinguys.com. Check out our links on the right side. Sobey Meats and all of our other wonderful sponsors are there. You'll click to their latest offerings, their sale pages. Sobey's has sales going on like every week. My Pillow's up there. All of our great sponsors are there. Up above that, there's a set of earmuffs. If you're not getting the podcast, click on that. We'll send it right to your device. And then if you miss a week, you've got it on your phone.
Right. So, Tim, wanted to talk a little bit about, finish up this conversation. So, if I've shot the deer and I've taken the hide off and it's still hanging from the tree, and in this, when it's, you know, it gets down to 40 at night, but up to 60 degrees during the day, it seems like what we're getting right now, how long can I leave that in a tree before I got to leave camp and do something with it, or we got to take it down and cut it up?
Yeah, I would say if you're getting into, let's say you shot it Tuesday morning, so you're getting into Wednesday. If it's been gutted thoroughly, nice and clean, you've rinsed it out, it's opened up to dry. If you had 2 days, you better be wanting to do something with it. If you had to drive back, drop it off to the processor, go back up to deer camp, or if you're that guy that's, you know, you're starting to take care of that meat yourself. And what we'll do, we'll get that hide peeled off. And looking at that deer hanging there, if you were to think of that compared, I know you're going to have jokes on this, but think of that as a fish, and you would want to take the fillets out of that fish, those back straps on that deer, go down either side of the spine, work your knife down through there, come up from the bottom of that, so it'd be similar to like a boneless pork loin in a meat market.
Right.
Pull those back straps out. The shoulders you can remove with a knife all the way down through the shoulder blade. So we'll kind of take and we'll chunk ours out in camp, bring it back and finish cutting it up ourselves.
Well, sure.
At least now you've gotten it out, get it into a cooler, throw a couple blocks of ice in there. It's nice and cold. You've taken care of your meat. You're either after the meat or the meat and the cape, right? So one or the other. So that meat is gold. As I say, it's only about $15,000 a pound. Yeah. When you figure how much beer you got into it, your rifle, and you know all that other good stuff. You can't pay it anymore, but when you used to could.
Right. So you're
going
to...
In a couple days.
Yeah, you're going to quarter that up, right? So and the hind quarters come off, cut them off above the knee. So you've got two hind quarters. You've got the two back straps. You've taken out the inside tenderloins, and then you got the front shoulders, and you're kind of done. I guess you could probably go after some neck meat if you wanted to, but again, that's you're picking between the bones a little bit, right?
Yes, and then if you're not going to process any of that yourself, then I would recommend leave that cape on, because when you get to the processor, they're going to stack them up like cordwood anyway, so that cape is going to help keep the dirt and that off that carcass.
Yeah.
So yep. Then within a couple of days, you're going to want to be making a move to get that down, to get in line, get it taken care of. And if you're going to be up in deer camp, if you're in the UP, that's something different again, right? If you're within an hour or so of home, take that deer, get it off to a processor, and then get back up to camp. At least you're in line to get it taken care of ASAP.
Right, right, exactly. So let's talk a little bit about... recipes, and which cuts of meats to do what with?
Backstrap, those, whether you want to do, a butterfly chop or just individual little medallions, venison, it doesn't take much to cook them. Certainly, if you were to leave it more towards the rarer side, if you're going to grill, pan fry, sear, however you're going to do that, but when you're ready to take it out, I would leave it more towards the rare side before you're actually going to sit down to eat it, because it doesn't take much to overcook those medallions. The venison doesn't have the marbling in it that beef does. So their tallows on the outside doesn't marble on the inside like beef. So it can get dry real quick. So leave it more towards that medium rare side. Get it out of the grill, out of the skillet, whatever, get it on the plate and start digging in.
Right. And we kind of skipped over something, and that's the do's and don'ts. You have spoken before about, you can test out how well you're preserving that body, that carcass, using your nose. What do you want to check for? What kind of odors are going to be danger?
So that's a great point, and we skipped that over completely. Rule of thumb is you want to gut that animal within 4 hours after it's died. And I could go on, we don't have time on this segment, but it doesn't matter if the temperature is 0 degrees and it's in snow overnight. They're so well insulated, they'll decay from the inside out.
Right.
So if you're in question, if you skin that deer, the flanks, which are right down by the crotch, number one, if they start turning a greenish color, it's soured. Or, as we say, pull the hide back by that leg meat, the back leg meat. If you had to cut into that muscle, just like you're going to sniff on prom night, get your nose in there. If it smells like a dirty diaper, the meat is soured. It's already started to decay. I would just lose the whole animal.
That was like a Joe Biden joke you just dropped there.
At least I didn't smell the hair, okay?
Well, that's important because it's still bow season. And last was Saturday night. We watched the Michigan State game. That was, if you're a Sparty, that's a terrible game. Good game if you're Wolverine. But... there was a guy that was going to come to the party. His wife came without him because he had hit a buck, and they didn't find it on Saturday night. But Sunday morning at 9 a.m., I get the picture text to me that they had found it. And so he didn't know when it died, but they found it. And my question was, is that so the smell test and this vision test is what everybody needs to go through if they shot it at
right.
5 o'clock well, on Saturday night and found it at 9 o'clock Sunday morning.
And there's another way to tell when it died, sort of, in the field, and that's simply by pushing on the meat to see if it's still nice and soft or if it's starting to get firm, you got a problem. I mean, in my opinion. I don't know. Tim, what do you think? Rigor mortis?
Rigor mortis, yeah. If rigor mortis is setting in, you probably lost that animal. But when in doubt, you know, that is the best. The smell test is the best way that I've found. And literally, as I say, within 4 hours, if you're into that 3.5 hour mark, and I've had this proven, so I know this for a fact. It's not hearsay. If you're in that 3.5 to 4 hour mark, you are on the bubble, baby. You better get moving, get it dressed out, rinsed off to save that meat.
Yeah. So in other words, if you wound an animal, you stay on the trail. Don't say, oh, it's dark, I'm going home.
Well, they just couldn't find it, right? I mean, they tracked it till they lost the trail.
That's when you call in the posse. It takes, you know, sometimes I've had up to like 6 or 8 guys helping me on a blood trail because they're so hard.
Yep.
And the more eyes you got on it, the better your odds are of actually finding that animal.
Yep. Yep.
That's when you phone in a friend.
Yeah.
Yes, and that's true. And then let's say if it is that trophy buck, and if you know it was wounded, it hasn't died, it's hard to track anyway. If you were going to go back to get it the next day, if you lost the meat, you can still salvage the cape and horns.
Right. Yep. Exactly.
At that point, yeah. And you hate to lose the meat.
Right.
You know, you'll make a grown man cry, but, you know, I hate to say it, but with deer, you know, it's a little bit different than beef. Beef, it's all about the meat. With the deer, yeah, there's something to be said about having that trophy on the wall.
Oh, yeah.
So at that
well, point, and the experience of just going out and doing it, and, you know, the reason that it costs $15,000 a pound.
Tim right? Sobey from Sobey Meats. We're out of time. It's always great to have you on, brother. And we'll be running in for some meat sticks and jerky before we head to deer camp and some smoked pork chops.
Great. Happy hunting to you guys.
All right, Tim.
Thanks, brother.
Yeah. Tim's business is out on Remembrance Road on the northwest side of Grand Rapids. If you've listened to the Grilling Guys at all, you know that he's a staple on this show.
Yeah. Just go to thegrillingguys.com, find his link.
Yep. It's going to be great. But we appreciate you tuning in each and every week and listening to this hoo-ha that we call the Grilling Guys. And if you're going hunting, get out there. Have a great time. Be safe. Only shoot at what you know you're shooting at.
Yeah.
So, take care, and we'll talk with you next week.
See you.